straight out of Austin, Texas. It's On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com, with your hosts, Statesman sports columnists Cedric Golden and Kirk Bowles. Often imitated, never duplicated. Hear it here first, On Second Thought.
On Second Thought, episode 323, brought to you by Hook'em.com. Our good friends at Bud Light said, Golden here with the Duck, Kirk Bowles. Duck, it's no longer football season, but we had to put a bow on it by bringing in the big dog, Thomas Jones.
Yeah.
Fresh off his first year on the beat, enjoyed it. You know what? If we had hired him before, maybe we would have been covering some more New Year's Six bowls. I'm blaming Daniel Davis for all the San Antonio trips, and I'm giving T. Jones all the credit for the Big Easy. Thomas, what's up, bro?
All I know is I got on the basketball beat last February, and they went to the Elite Eight. All right, my first year on the volleyball beat, they win a championship, and now with football, I mean the college football playoff. Y'all should have hired me 10 years ago, man.
Nowhere to go but down.
How'd the volleyball team do?
They did okay, Kirk, and they're going to win another one next year, I think.
You take credit, man. You got an Addy.
I'm taking all the credit. Nothing to do with Madison Skinner or A'ja O'Neal.
Or Jared Elliott. Yeah.
Or Jared Elliott. We're both bald. That's about the only similarities between me and Jared.
What's your anniversary? You came on in February. You obviously were on our staff forever, but you moved to the UCB February what? You know your anniversary?
I couldn't tell you. First week, February 10th, somewhere around then.
So not even a year into it, you're winning natties and volleyball.
Not even a year yet. I'm that close to the Final Four. I'm a Dylan Dessou injury away from the Final Four.
Wow.
They would have beaten Miami if Dylan had played.
I think so.
Absolutely.
He's playing now.
He's playing big right now. Big.
We're going to hit on hoops a little bit later. Let's put a bow on football season, TJ. Sarkisian is a transfer portal demon. He is getting it done in the portal. But he told us all during the season that he wants to build this thing through recruiting. And he's recruiting his butt off as well. How do you think he's walked that fine balance between recruiting and the transfer portal? And how will he have to navigate it to keep the Texas Longhorns in the CFP mix?
I think, and I don't want to sound like a homer here, but right now, what Sark is doing with Texas is a model of how you should handle the portal. His recruiting base is so strong, all right? They're getting the 4 or 5-star kids. Really, at every position, they're able to use recruiting to form that foundation. And then, so use the portal judiciously. You don't have to bring 20 kids in. You're not Dion. You're not rebuilding anything. You bring kids into certain positions that need help. You know what? Our receiving corps is all going to the NFL. I tell you what, let's go get 3 kids from the portal at receiver. Our 2 defensive tackles to go to the NFL, let's go find a defensive tackle. We had some absences in the secondary. Let's go target specifically safety. They're able to target specific positions, and I think ideally that's how a college program handles the portal.
Yeah, he knows recruiting's his bread and butter, but he can sure cherry pick with the best of them. I mentioned him in my column just a week ago. I think it was a week ago. They ranked 24th in the transfer portal. Now they're 8th.
Yeah.
And who knows if it's over yet, because some windows are open still for Washington players, Alabama players, stuff like that. And they're 8 high-impact players. Go ahead.
They're 8th in any on-3 rankings you look at the portal, even though they're the only one in the top 10 that has single-digit arrivals from the portal.
Exactly.
So like you're saying, players. That testifies to that. You know, target specific signings.
He's recruiting, if you will.
Absolutely.
The transfer portal to his needs. And like you said, TJ, he got an edge rusher in Trey Moore from UTSA. He got 3 wide receivers. He got a tight end. He got a linebacker. He's got, you know, 2 of those receivers are kick returners. Yeah. You know, Matthew Golden, 2 kickoff returns for a touchdown. Silas Bolden had a punt return for a touchdown. So I love how he's, like you said, he's directing his focus toward the needs. And, you know, I don't know if he didn't fill one need, guys, what would you say it is? I worry a little bit about the interior defensive line. What do you think,
That's got to
Ted?
be it. That's got to be it. I mean, you don't lose Byron Murphy and Tavondre Sweat and not feel it. And that's coming. They're still got time. And the guys that they have coming back, let's see, Vernon Broughton will be back. Alfred Collins will be back. Those are pretty good players, but they were on the back end of those rotations. Those two big dogs are going to be playing on Sunday afternoon. So I think they're going to need another one or two impact guys to be part of that rotation. I don't think that you're going to find an Outland Trophy winner in the portal. You're not, but you can find maybe a couple of second team all conference guys that can come in and you can develop them. And let's not forget, Bo Davis is gone. That's a big loss. That's
Hey,
a big
and
loss.
Seth, I think that's you're right on point there. You got to remember, Byron Murphy and Tavondre Sweat were rotation guys before this past season. They weren't starters. They weren't stars. They were rotation guys. Bo Davis got the most out of those two, and he did turn them into NFL prospects. Now you don't have Bo Davis here anymore, so can Alfred Collins and Vernon Broughton kind of do what Murphy and Sweat did last year by stepping into a bigger role? Can Sadir Mitchell, who I personally like, 350-pound kid from New Jersey. You know, he's going to be in his what, second year next year? Was he a true freshman this year? But he's going to be older. He's going to be expected to play snaps. Can they do that without Bo Davis around? That's a bigger question, I think.
You just hit on it, TJ. It's about development, which hadn't been happening at Texas till Sark and this staff came around. The Arizona defensive tackle, you know anything about him, TJ? I don't think
Well,
he was all Pac-12 or anything like that, but
I'm gonna tell you what I don't know is I don't know how to pronounce the kid's name yet, so I'm not gonna try.
Sevilla.
You spell it.
He's a Vegas kid. He's from Las Vegas. You know, he's gonna be familiar with the Texas system because his DC from Arizona is now at Texas. He'll be a good rotation player. You know, he's not massive. He's probably about 305, but kind of Byron Murphy size, and he's more in that Murphy mode. He's got the quick feet. Quick first step. He's kind of a disruptor. I think he'll be a good fit.
You know, the other thing is that wide receiver, we mentioned the three wide receivers they got that can fill a void, but do they have that big wide receiver like AD Mitchell? Is that still a void, maybe?
Well, I do think they have it. Now, he's a true freshman. His name's Ryan Wingo from St. Louis, Missouri.
Big
And
dude. Right.
he's a
Five,
five-star
right?
kid. He's a five-star kid for a reason. 6'2". 215. He is that big bodied. When I see film of him, it's kind of reminds me of like a Des Bryant type.
Wow.
You know, just strong, goes up, contests for the ball, good speed. That's why I think Wingo, even though UT does have a lot of depth, that's why I think Wingo will step into the rotation immediately because other than him, they don't have that big physical receiver.
You
I think
don't.
he's
They
the
got
only
like
one they got.
19 of their recruits are already enrolled and here for the spring semester. That's a big boon to next year too, getting ingrained in the system a few months early.
I mean, that's once we get to spring ball, I think the role of Wingo on the offense and with all the other receivers, that's one thing we should all be keeping our eye on to see what he's going to be doing with the starters.
You know what, guys? Everything he's touching right now is turning to gold. I am so impressed. And I'm not here to toot his horn, but I'm telling you guys, he seems to have a plan and he's following through with it. And when you have a guy who's organized, we've seen some unorganized coaches come through here, Doug. Organized, he seems to have a plan. And the one thing that we haven't brought up, when it comes to that transfer portal, Steve Sarkisian's a charismatic cat and Austin sells itself, but you have to bring a bag with you. The bag speaks. And when you have the bag and you have the Texas reputation and what Sark is building here, when that phone rings, you got to pick up. It's Texas calling. And I don't care if you've decided to sign somewhere else. If you see 512 on your cell, you better pick that up.
Yeah, that's a 512 with like comma three zeros after it. You know
There
what
you go, fam. There you go.
I mean? UT is never gonna be hurt in that department when it comes to NIL.
Yeah,
Never.
the only negative, guys, is we just touched on it about Bo Davis, leaving for the LSU job because for whatever reason, Texas wouldn't get his kid in from southwestern Louisiana. So, and that's a loss because, you know, we just talked about it. You make all Big 12 lineman and Outland Trophy winner out of Sweat and Murphy in 1 year. That's impressive. So I don't know if they're going to get around.
Why's your kid at Southwest Louisiana? I mean, I'm asking.
I don't know,
Or
but he
Southeast,
is
whichever.
southwestern Louisiana,
And
but
the kid is in at LSU.
I don't know. I haven't seen anything yet, but he made it clear to UT wanted to coach his kid. So I think he may just have 1 year left. So I wonder, guys, if he goes after Rod Wright, who has
Well,
a good job with the Houston Texans.
here, that's the thing. Why hasn't Texas hired a D-line coach yet? And a lot of people assume that Roderick Wright, who, you know, as you said, is with the Texans, that he's kind of the guy because they're waiting on him. But it's been a week, you know,
Yeah.
it's been a few days since
Yeah.
the Texans have been eliminated. And a lot of those things move pretty quickly. You know, like it or not, Roderick Wright would have been contacted, I think, by Texas if he was a leading candidate, and there'd be some smoke on that hire. And
You
for
think
whatever
so?
reason, there's like zero smoke. So that's why I think maybe they're not going with Rod Wright, you know,
Yeah.
former Longhorn, but
I think he'd
maybe.
walk here.
Huh?
I think Rod would walk here for that job.
I agree. And
Leaving NFL staff, though, you know, those don't grow on
One that's up
trees.
and coming, Duck. Let's and
Exactly.
these staffs are up and coming.
Exactly.
And the question, and I've got to reach out to Rod. I haven't, and I should have days ago because I texted out, tweeted out that him and Frank Ocam are having some nice or Texas exes that are having some nice runs as coaches, as D line coaches, and they
Yeah.
were great here as players and young men. Does he want to recruit? That's the big question. And
That's
can he
true.
recruit? That's the
Yeah.
big question. And the last I saw Rod Wright was he was getting cut by Rex Ryan on Hard Knocks when he was with the Jets. And so it was good to see him bounce back from that. And I think he'd be great. I love his demeanor. He's one of the smarter players that we ever covered, Duck. Very cerebral guy.
Emotional too. He's
Yeah,
emotional.
he's a tough dude. And I really wonder, why we haven't heard anything on that. And like TJ said, maybe it's not Rod, but
Yeah,
because
maybe not.
sometimes these things move pretty quick. And once your team is eliminated, your schedule opens up. You have exit interviews, and then if your phone rings, you can start negotiating.
Yeah, like we said, he's with the Texans. They're an up-and-coming franchise. He may just want to stay in the NFL. And I still think, I mean, Oscar Giles, I know he's been at Texas in various capacities over the year. I believe he's the associate head coach at Wyoming,
Is.
working with their D line. He would jump at the chance to come back.
He would jump at
This
the
be his
chance.
third time? Would this be his third tour at Texas?
Recruiting has never been a problem with Big O.
So I
Recruiting
don't
has
know.
never been a problem.
It'll be, but like you say, he would jump on this, and if it was going to be him, you think that would already be done too. So we shall see. We shall see. But football's in a good place. I mean, I did my top 25 poll ran Sunday at Texas third.
Wow,
So
that's
yeah,
high, Doug. That's kind of high.
I
Like it.
kind of think they're going 11-1 again
Oh my
right
God, hey,
now.
I'm not about to go against the Silver Fox when it comes to Texas football, because he predicted 11-1 last season and it happened, and
Yep.
I took a beating for being a non-interested, negative nine
Hater.
three guy. Yeah, and I'm like, you hadn't won 9 games in a regular season since
Yeah.
2018, and I'm hating. I just happened to be pick them to go 9-3 in the same year that Kirk Bowles hit the lottery and got it right for once.
And you know, one thing too, they don't play Alabama next year, even though they played them very well, could have gone 2-0 against them. And they're probably going to play Michigan on the road without Harbaugh, definitely without J.J. Harbaugh, the quarterback, and Blake Corum, the
McCarthy.
quarterback. So they're
I
both
tell you what,
gone.
though,
Without Blake Corum.
that visit did. That visit from Georgia, though,
Woo, woo.
that's gonna be their toughest test of the year.
That could be the
I think
one.
they'll win in Michigan. I really do.
Oh,
Whether
wow.
they beat Georgia at home, that's a different story.
Hey, Carson Beck may be the Heisman front runner, come when Georgia comes to town in
Ari
October.
might be second to Quinn Ewers.
Never know.
Who's to
Never
say?
know.
Who's
Never
to
know.
say? Hey, we need to hit on hoops. The Texas Longhorns pulled.
Wow.
No, Thomas Jones is a pro wrestling fan, and we're about to nail that tomb shut. And then all of a sudden, Rodney Terry pulled an Undertaker and rose up out of that coffin. They survived. The UCF nightmare is still fresh in their minds, but they've won a couple of games to even it up at 3-3.
Hey,
They are right there going into Saturday's winnable game at a decent BYU
good team.
team, very good BYU team that's always old.
They can fill it up too.
Where do
Hey,
you think?
you're referencing The Undertaker. I think one of us here may have said the season was dead.
I
Around.
think
Now, wait a minute. You got
it
to
was a
read the
silver
whole
fox.
column.
I think it was a silver fox. I think it was a silver
That
fox.
was the lead. You got to read all. I said the talent is there, the choice is there. Are they gonna play or not? So,
It
and
actually, for those that don't know, Kirk wrote a pretty tough but fair column about the Texas men's basketball team after they blew that 15-point lead against UCF, lost at home. Reread it because some of the stuff Kirk points out has happened the last two games, and there's a reason Texas is 3-3 in Big 12.
he's smart like that.
He's
You
smart.
know, the thing
Well,
is,
one smart.
one thing, guys, they played with a sense of urgency against Baylor in Oklahoma. They beat two teams, both ranked in the top 11 here,
Needed those
and
quality wins. Needed them.
yeah, and they moved up 15 spots in the net rankings. They moved up from 59 to 44, 44.
those two wins, and they're 37th in KenPom. And according to Bracketology and ESPN, they're one of the first eight teams out, which
Well,
means they're
Joe
within striking distance.
and Joe Lunardi, the ESPN bracketologist,
Joy
he
Brad.
has them kind of off the bubble and in the tournament already, right now at this point.
They
So
got
they can. They can.
9-9 gets them in. I think
Look, oh, for
it's
sure.
500
I'm being
team in the
honest.
best conference in the country will play
If
in the tournament.
you're 500 in Big 12, you're in.
Yeah.
Off the bat, I think 8-10 might get you in. I really.
Woo! That's
If you're
close.
8-10 in the Big 12,
I need to make some noise in the tournament, fam. I don't know. That 8-10 scares me.
the way this conference is playing out, I think 8-10 will get you in, depending on how those wins are and what the losses look like. But Texas is on pace to get back to the tournament. Simple as that.
Yeah,
They
they
the
are.
road win at OU, that was their best effort of the year. Complete game. Weaver's been a revelation.
They need
And
a chunk. He's the new Brock Cunningham.
yeah,
He is.
and Brock played well last night
Brock
too.
played
So
pretty well, but Weaver
yeah.
is out there on the front of the defense, wreaking havoc, getting loose
Yes.
balls. That diving save of a rebound against Baylor,
Against Baylor.
them 2 points and kept them in striking distance and allowed them to win that game.
Absolutely.
I think the Duck called him a junkyard dog, or you did, TJ. That was the perfect description of
Well,
what
Bill and
he.
DeSue did in post game.
Oh yeah, I love it.
Yeah,
I love it. I love
for
it.
sure. And guys, his offense is a bonus. They had 11 points against Oklahoma
Yeah.
Tuesday
One
night and
minute.
four
One
rebounds,
minute.
besides all the hustle plays.
He's
So
earning those minutes.
what you're seeing now is this team has finally formed that identity. Look, A. Smith and Dylan DeSue are that 1-2 punch, that inside out. They're going to get you 30, 35, 40 a game combined right now. Dylan Mitchell's having a very good year. He's a rebounding machine, great defensive player, smart. He's consistent. Now you got Weaver doing his thing. I still, if Tyrese Hunter can be a little more consistent scoring the ball, and if IT Horton can become that reliable
Thank
10,
you.
11, 12 points a game, that's what you're really looking for right now. Then you would have all the pieces working together.
That's
They got to
what
have that
that would,
third option.
yeah, that's what
You need
worries
a
me
third
about him.
option.
That's what worries me about him. We know what we're going to get from DeSue. We know what we're going to get from Max.
And
Got to
B-Mitch.
have that third guy. I mean, last
The
year
four.
they had Timmy Allen. to help pick up some slack. They need a third guy to be consistently 10 to 12 a game. That's how you win in the tournament. You're not, because there's going to come a time when a team takes away Dylan Dessou. Then what are you going to get? I really thought Dylan Mitchell would score more this year. I did.
Yeah, that is too.
Because he's a live body, but he's not as willing a shooter. If you watch him in warmups, he's knocking down threes, but then you get in the game and he's just not looking.
He's a slasher. He's a cutter. You're right, Sid. I agree with you. I thought he'd be a little bit more offensively, but he's a rim protector. He can rebound. He can body up the guys down in the paint. I think all you guys are hitting on it perfectly. And I think like TJ said, if you get that third scoring option, either out of Tyrese Hunter or Horton, if you can get one of those going, or Mitchell as a third option, because like you said, they're going to take away Max or Horton at some point. And so you better have somebody besides the other one, especially on the road. And you got to play with that kind of defense. I was looking at KenPom, they ranked 27th nationally in offense and 60th in defense.
Which is surprising.
That's not what Rodney Terry preaches. He
It's
preaches
not,
defense.
but he also is coaching in the best conference. And teams
He
fill it
is.
up in this league, man. They are just
He
filling it
is.
up in this league.
But it's not a super team this year, is it?
Nope.
I think it's a damn good league and the best in the
Every year.
country.
Every
But
year. You can't point to one team.
Kansas.
No.
Kansas
They're not
lost to
Kansas
West
10 years
Virginia.
ago. Yeah, they're gonna be in the tournament. They're Kansas. They're gonna compete for the championship.
Sure.
There's nothing that says that the Longhorns can't beat Kansas because they can.
No, I think everyone in this conference. I mean, right now you have Texas Tech and K-State are. I think they're tied atop the standings. Those guys are good. They're beatable. They're good. But anyone aside from Okie State, I would say Okie State's the only team in this conference that's really not very good. Other than that, literally everyone can beat anyone any night. And that's not a cliche. That's just the truth.
And I think Texas has six more games against ranked teams on the road. So they got a tough slight. That means you can move up and down quickly.
These
They can
rankings are going
go
to be fluctuating so much. If Texas.
2-4 in that gauntlet and hold serve at home, they're in good shape.
Yeah, that's why.
Got to steal another road game, but you got to make up for that UCF disaster. You still got to steal at least one more road game.
Yeah, and you lost to Tech at home too. So you gotta maybe get Tech back up in Lubbock. Get a win at, well, Baylor be tough.
Oh.
Houston be tough. Get a win at TCU. Steal a road win at TCU.
Yeah. It's gonna be exciting though. It's they're relevant now.
They are
So
relevant, thank God.
let's see some consistency out of them.
But I will say the panic mode from a national perspective, let alone in Austin, which is always a panic mode about UT sports. People wanted to fire RT after 2 games into the conference tournament. How many
They did.
conference season? It was
Course they
ridiculous.
did. They did. That's what they. You know, they
That's what
pretend they
fans do.
care. They pretend they care, and then all of a sudden, some rain falls, and the bottom falls out, and they want to run RT. Who are you going to bring in here? Just better than RT.
Yeah.
We're going to
Man,
bring in. There's some good coaches out there. I think let's give RT a full season,
sure.
see what RT can bring, and then we'll know. Then we'll know because this team's plenty good enough. If these guys take it up another level, plenty good enough to make some noise in March.
Mean, Shaka had 6 seasons without an NCAA win.
A lot. And he made a lot
RT
more than RT.
deserves a probably a
He
few
made a
years.
lot more than RT's making. Shaka did. So let's give RT a shot, man. Let's give him a shot.
And he got Trey Johnson, another McDonald's All-American, coming in, and hopefully he can hang on to this recruiting class.
We hope Trey Johnson, the McDonald's All-American, we hope he comes in. He will have professional options. And in this day and age, you almost can't assume a five-star kid ever comes in until he's here.
He may go to Europe. You never know. He could go to Europe.
Man, he may go
Harry
to Europe.
deserves some good luck. Rodney deserves some good luck there, though.
Australia and the G League right now are sending guys, from high school to the pros. But we'll
Man.
see. We'll see.
I don't know how well they're doing. I hear Ron Holland kind of wishes he was in college. So I don't
Ron
know.
Holland is playing his way out of the lottery right now,
Is he
to be
really? I
honest.
haven't caught up with him. Where is he again?
He's in the G League, isn't he?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what. I can't remember.
I can't remember.
Ignite. He's with the Ignite.
Yeah.
If it's me, man, I would have taken that NIL money and had fun in college for at least 1 year. And who's to say you wouldn't have stayed for another? I mean, it's a good place to be now because there's a check that comes with the scholarship now. It may not be football money, but it's probably pretty good money, I would think.
Or D. Cam Rising, play for 7 years.
Wow, Cam Cub Thompson.
The Miami guy gets nine.
Yeah. What's
One
the first name? They used to play quarterback here. I'm drawing a blank.
Cam Rising.
No, but the Thompson that just
Casey
went back to OU.
Thompson. AC.
Casey that just went back to OU got it. What is that? Is this his sixth or seventh year?
Fourth school.
Fourth school in how many years? 6 years?
No, it'd be four. It was Texas, Nebraska, Florida Atlantic, and now Oklahoma. He'd be the first person ever to quarterback a Texas and an Oklahoma team. So
And
that would make for a good rivalry.
yeah,
We want AC.
I need to give Ron Hollins a quick credit. He's averaging almost 19 and 7 a game
Okay,
for
see,
D League
that
money.
ain't playing his way out a lot of it.
Yeah, that's
Okay.
I didn't he started off, he's only 11 games into the season. His
Yeah.
first few games were not good, very turnover prone, but these last few games he's kind of picking up, and you've seen what he could do,
Texas
whatever
could
team
use
wanted
him.
him.
Texas could use him.
Oh yeah, anybody could use him.
Well, TJ, it's been great, man. I know we all pull double duty on Longhorn Confidential. We do our thing there, but it's good to have you on the On Second Thought podcast to break down what's going on your two beats. You
Or
are
when I'm on it, I call it on second choice.
on Second Choice, on Second Thought, but on first in our hearts. Man, we appreciate it. That's going to do it for episode 323. We were so glad to be back, and we're going to hit it again. Duck, next week, we may even talk a little bit of Super Bowl. Who knows?
Hey, when
If
you give
they
me your
let
call,
us.
it's Friday.
If they let us. So thanks for joining us, guys. We'll see you next time.
All right. See you guys.
You've been listening to On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com. Join Seth and Kirk every Thursday at lunch for a new episode. Archived episodes are available on iTunes and Google Android Play.